Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai. I'm your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. Very happy to be talking with Robin Cabral on the line today. Robin, are you there?
Yes, Mickey. How are you? I'm here.
I'm hanging in there. Robin is the chief. What was I completely filled it up already. You're a chief strategist and a fundraising coach for nonprofits and other entities too, I imagine, right?
You got it. Yeah, that's what I do. Yep. Mm-hmm. You got it right. No problem.
and just to inform our guests, you are currently still sort of hunkering down in Australia?
That's correct. Yeah, I was. I actually split my time between I have business in Australia and the U.S. But, but my plane was grounded on March the 26th here in Australia, and I've been here ever since. So, I'm stuck here for. I'm marooned. I like to say I'm marooned.
There's part of me that believes that being stuck in Australia might be something like an extended vacation. Maybe is that not? Kind of.
Although when you want to come home, you do want to come home.
Yeah, no, that is true. That is very true. So let's at least bring business home. You and I today decided we were going to talk about fundraising career advancement, and that more specifically how to move up in your fundraising career by building your personal brand, which I think involves social media and an expanded digital presence for most people. I mean, it's more than just a resume, right? Obviously.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the resume still serves a very critical role when it comes to career advancement, but you're absolutely right. The stats are tremendous that when someone goes on, an employer goes online, that's where they're going, is to LinkedIn and places like that. So, yes, definitely talking about those kinds of strategies.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I hear mixed reviews about LinkedIn. Certainly you and I are connected on LinkedIn, and I hear people say they love it, and I'm one of those people. I kind of like LinkedIn a lot, but I've also heard people say that it hasn't helped them at all. What do you think? Is LinkedIn worth the squeeze?
Well, I think LinkedIn is definitely worth the squeeze, and I would just say, how are we using LinkedIn would be the question, right? So I'm a LinkedIn premium member, and I find the premium version much better than the regular unpaid version, and it actually has been beneficial to me as well as to a lot of my clients that I do career coaching with. And in fact, I recommend it as one of their top tools when they're looking to mine what I call the hidden job market. So it's absolutely essential to be able to do that. There's one other one that's available that I also highly recommend, and this is a hidden tool. Not too many people know about it, and it is a little pricey. It's about, I think it's $99 a month, but it's something called UpLead, and that will allow you to find prospective employers and companies as well. But, yeah, I say LinkedIn is, to me, your number one career advancement or career search tool. It's just a question of how are you using it and are you using it correctly to do that.
Sure. So let's start with a very general sense, sort of a big picture question, which is how does an average person leverage social media in general to advance their fundraising career? Is it just LinkedIn, or is there other things like I tend to keep my LinkedIn and my Facebook very separate, right?
So yeah, that's a great point. So, well, there's a couple of things that I recommend, particularly for fundraisers. It's like, what do you want to be known for, right? So when I work with someone career coaching, we kind of look at what is their objective? Where do they want to be? What do they want to be doing? And for someone like a major gift officer or someone who wants to be a planned gift officer, we'll focus everything on that. So it's deciding, number one, what channels are the best for, you know, leveraging your brand. And most often it's LinkedIn. It is Twitter to some extent, although that has a very fast, or I don't know how do you even term that, tweet rate, right? Like tweets are going, and I think yours has about an 18-minute longevity before it becomes kind of obsolete in the Twitter feed. But and then the other one is Facebook, and then of course Instagram. So it's a combination of deciding what do you want to be known for as a brand, and then which tools will get you there the best, or which are the best places to leverage yourself. Now I say that if you're looking for a position, right, a particular position, you know, almost all employers, and I don't have the stat off the top of my head, do go to LinkedIn to look and see what it says about that particular prospective employee. So that is top to me number one. That's where you should be spending a lot of your energies, because that's what employers are using as a tool to find you. Now, you mentioned a good point around Facebook, right? Like you have your Facebook is completely personal and completely separate. The interesting thing that I do is I actually have two Facebook accounts. I have a business Facebook, and it's not a page, it's a profile, and I also have a personal one. So I keep my business and my personal somewhat separate in terms of my clients, but yeah, so it's, I think definitely LinkedIn, and then deciding from there, is it Twitter, is it Facebook, is it a Facebook page, is it, you know, having a Facebook group, depending upon what brand you're aiming for, and then do you want to do something on Instagram and Snapchat and all of those, TikTok now, and my gosh, they grow by the day, don't they?
But, it's true, there are too many right? of them, I'm lazy, as my friends will tell you, but I'm wondering if I can just get away with keeping LinkedIn the professional site, because in my other entrepreneurial work that I do, even for my consulting business with the nonprofit Snapshot, Pinterest hasn't helped. You know, Snapchat has not helped. You know, tweeting sort of keeps a flag sort of waving in the wind, but it doesn't actually become a lead generator for me.
Right.
So I'm wondering if LinkedIn, if I had to choose one, I think LinkedIn would have to be it.
I think so. To me, it is the place to be seen and to also produce top quality content that gets you seen. So yeah, when I do presentations on branding, I spend a lot of time on what does your resume look like and what does your LinkedIn profile look like, because to me those are the two most important tools that you can have in your career toolbox.
This brings me to the next question, which is, how does the fundraising resume fit into today's digital world?
It still fits, believe it or not. Most jobs are still requiring a resume, so it still fits. It's still a valid tool. And I say to folks that, guess what? Your resume is only to do one thing, and that one thing is to get you the interview. Now, in some cases, although this is not so much common in the not-for-profit world, but we now have things like applicant tracking screening, which actually tracks your resume for certain keywords. You know, for me, an employer takes about 10 seconds to scan your resume. And from that 10 seconds, from those 10 seconds, you will either end up in the interview pile or not. So your resume is still very critical to getting you the interview. Now, after they look at your resume, then they will go look at your LinkedIn profile. And from there, they will round out what they're seeing about you. So it's great to have your LinkedIn profile have more data than what your resume would. So that's why things like recommendations, that's why things like endorsements, things like having featured items, like whether it's a video or a project or what have you, but you can all upload those, you can upload that kind of information into LinkedIn and almost create a portfolio that a prospective employer can then go take a look at. So yeah, your resume still plays a very critical role. And what you see on LinkedIn and what you see on your resume should match each other, because you want them to sync up. because an employer will be looking for that as well. So yeah, your resume is still critical. You still got to have that paper resume.
Right, exactly. Well, and you made me think, you know, maybe I should just beef up the LinkedIn profile and severely cut back on the resume, because my resume is a solid 2 pages long, and I tend to think that there's simply a lot of information on it.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Which for me raises the question, if a prospective employer is only going to spend 10 to 30 seconds looking at it, do I really need to spend that much energy on the resume?
I was just going to segue into that resume, right? Because it's an interesting point. I see resumes sometimes that are 3 or 4 or more pages long, right?
Wow.
And so for me, 2 to 3 pages is pushing it. 2 pages is a good level to be at. And I recommend, Mickey, that you don't go back any more than 10 to 15 years. Particularly in the fundraising world, there is this thing called ageism, right? Like,
yes.
it's real. When people look at your resume, they're going to look at it and say, okay, how long has this person been around? And unfortunately, and I'm just going to say the simple truth here, the simple truth is that sometimes people will get picked over because of the fact of how old they appear to be, right? Like, sometimes the younger, greener, more inexpensive fundraiser is better than the highly seasoned professional cost-wise. I've been there, done that. So I recommend no more than 10 to 15 years back. And I recommend that all this heavy accomplishment reporting that people do in their resumes, like bullet after bullet after bullet of here's what I did, you know, just keep it somewhere between 2 to 6 critical ones.
Mm-hmm.
I say, and there's 3 things that an employer looks for when they're looking for someone. And the 3 things are, 1, can this person raise me more money? 2, can this person save me money? Or 3, can this person make me more productive or efficient? So the other piece of that is, and I'm doing a resume clinic tomorrow night, but the whole piece of that is you want to define what your objective is, right? So if you're a plan giving officer, you want to have your objective. And then everything in your resume should support your achievements should support that plan. So someone should look at that and be able to say, oh, wow, here's relatable or transferable plan giving skills or achievements. So it's almost like a narrative that you're weaving on paper. And those achievements, I don't know, Mickey, if you were to pull out your resume, kind of what your achievements look like,
mm-hmm.
but they really should be qualitative. So if I'm going to be going for a major gift officer position, I want to be able to say that I raised, 35% more revenue from my portfolio, from 10 more donors, new donors. I'm making this up right now, but you get what I'm saying, is that they should really be more qualitative versus the kind of descriptors that we're seeing, like, I maintained a major gift portfolio. Okay, fine and good, but how does that say to an employer that you're going to raise more money or save us more money, or actually make us more productive in qualitative measures? Does that make sense?
Yes, perfectly.
Yeah, so that's your resume.
Got it. And that sort of explains how you manage your paper resume in the digital world to some degree as well.
Exactly, and in the interview process as well. So
if
you go into an interview, you want to be able to say, I increased my revenue, my portfolio revenue by 30% last year over year, by bringing in 10 new major donors. And guess what? I can do that for your organization as well.
Mm-hmm.
So an employer goes, oh, wow, so she did that and she can do that for us. That's the kind of person that we want. So
right.
Those qualitative statements flow over into your social and into the actual interview as well.
So, we're rapidly running out of time, but I wanted to make sure we cover at least 2 more questions before we wrap up today, which is how do you make LinkedIn your fundraising best friend? And my sub-question there is, are we talking about using LinkedIn for fundraising or using LinkedIn for finding next fundraising gig? And then the very last question I wanted to ask was, was how do you master digital fundraising career? How do you master the whole overall digital fundraising career world itself? I may have to clarify that, but how do you make LinkedIn your fundraising best friend?
Well, LinkedIn is your fundraising best friend, whether or not you know it, because what you may or may not know is that Google uses LinkedIn as an SEO. So whenever you type your name into Google, like if I were to type my name into it, you'd find my LinkedIn profile shows up fairly high. And there's a reason for that, because LinkedIn, Google is using LinkedIn to do some of its job, to do SEO searching and those kinds of things. So making sure that your LinkedIn profile includes all of the keywords that you want to be known for. For instance, you know, major gift, plan, giving, relationship building, stewardship. If you go to my LinkedIn profile, you will see quite clearly that I have fundraising coach, fundraising consultant, career advancement coach, grant writing, development audits. I have all my major things in keywords peppered throughout my LinkedIn profile. So particularly, you know, LinkedIn is SEO as well. The way employers find you is through typing in keywords. So you want to make sure that LinkedIn is full of keywords, and that really is how it becomes your best friend, your fundraising mm-hmm. best friend, is by maximizing and leveraging those keywords so you're found by the employers who are seeking your particular set of skill sets,
right.
And Google as well.
Right.
I forgot the second question.
the second question is from the notes that actually you had sent to me, which is how do you master the digital fundraising career advancement world? And I think that that may simply be another big picture question, but let's make sure we cover it.
Yeah, so when you ask that question, what exactly are you looking at, right? Like what are you referring to? Like I think for me, it's realizing that all are interconnected and that you need all of them. So I often have people who come to me just for resume development or resume edits, editing or review. And what I say is you're missing a whole piece of the pie if you're not looking at your social aspect of your persona or your brand or your career that's out there. So that's mistake number one, is that the resume today is, I still see it, it's not the be-all, end-all. So making sure that you have consistent branding, consistent keywording across all of those platforms, including your resume, all the way to your Facebook and your LinkedIn and beyond. So I think that's the most important way of how you can master that, is not compartmentalizing each, but looking at them holistically. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, perfectly. And it sounds like the only way the only way to do that topic justice is to actually do the deep dig and look at what holistic means, because holistic changes from person to person, I imagine.
That's right. That's right. Everyone has different objectives. And everyone has different reasons to build a brand, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, that's going to be highly individualized in terms of the person. And so that's why kind of having consultations and sitting with someone and kind of getting an understanding of where do they want to be headed through career coaching really makes the most sense.
Right. Robin, I'm sorry to say that we are out of time, but I hope we can revisit some. Yeah, I want us to have some time maybe in another month or two. Can we revisit then and maybe do another one of these recordings about, you know, the issue of personal branding and career advancement?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. I'll mark my calendar down and we can certainly plan on it.
Yeah, we'll toss some dates after we end this recording. But in the meantime, if a listener wanted to be in touch with you, how would you suggest they go about doing that?
Yeah, well, they can just go to my website is probably the quickest way, and that is www.developmentconsultingsolutions.com. Mm-hmm. Or you can just connect with me like you and I are connected on LinkedIn, and that is you can just search for me as your LinkedIn name. Well, it's my name is fundraising consultant and coach, but you can just put in Robin Cabral and you'll find me on LinkedIn and we can connect that way.
Robin, thank you for making the time to do this recording with me today.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. You stay safe, Mickey, and I look forward to perhaps being on another podcast in the future.
Yeah, same here. Absolutely looking forward to it. Thank you, Robin.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us for this episode. We invite you to be a part of these conversations. If you have an idea for the program or would like to be a guest on a future episode, please drop us a line via our website, nonprofitsnapcast.org. In the meantime, we'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.